So I'm gonna keep it real with you. Women's peak reproductive years are between late teens and late 20s. Some research indicates that an ideal first pregnancy is at age 23. Well, that just doesn't realistically line up with most people's timelines. I was barely getting started with life at 23, much less thinking about having children. And that's where Ritual comes in. Their 3-in-1 fertility support was designed in partnership with an OBGYN and a fertility specialist, and it uses clinically studied ingredients and clinically studied dosages to support conception outcomes. As an OBGYN, I trust Ritual products because they take quality seriously. Their fertility support is made traceable, received the Clean Label Project Purity Award. It's sugar-free, vegan, gluten, soy, and major allergen-free without synthetic colorants. And it has those three clinically studied ingredients, including myo-inositol, which helps support egg health, promotes normal ovulation cycles, helps support healthy hormone levels. NAC provides antioxidant support and helps support ovarian health. And CoQ10 helps support follicular health and cellular energy production. Now, for even more pre-pregnancy support, you can bundle the fertility support with Ritual's essential prenatal multivitamin. That multivitamin has omega-3 DHA, folate, iron, and more to support key nutrient needs for preconception. So bring the fertility science back to your bedroom with 3-in-1 fertility support from Ritual. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Dr. Nicole. That's ritual.com/Dr. Nicole for 25% off. In the shorty episode, I am addressing a listener comment about my stance on hospital birth. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. If you're having a baby in the hospital, you are giving birth in a system that too often takes away power from women over what happens in their own bodies. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a practicing board-certified OBGYN who's had the privilege of helping well over 1,000 babies into this world. I've been a doctor for over 20 years, and I'm here to help you take back your power, advocate for yourself, and have the beautiful pregnancy and birth that you deserve. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Whether this is your first time listening or you have been here before, I am so glad you are spending some time with me today. From time to time, I survey podcast listeners to get a sense for who is out there listening and things I can do to better serve you all. And recently, someone left this really thoughtful comment on the survey that I want to address. And before I get into the comment, if you want to let me know what you think about the podcast and a little bit about yourself, head to drnicolerankins.com/survey and fill that survey out. So here is the comment, and it's fairly long, so give me a second, but it's very well thought out, so I appreciate it. I don't know who the respondent was, so thank you for this. And it says, I've noticed that Dr. Rankin's position statements have gotten stronger on the negatives of a hospital birth over time. And that's in the year plus that I've been listening. For instance, her opening and introduction now frames hospitals as a system that too often takes away power from women over what happens in their own bodies. When she first started, I think this was phrased more as it can undermine women or something a little softer. I've noticed the types of guests she welcomes onto the podcast are also more likely to have this stronger mentality against or suspicious of or worried about hospital births. I guess I'm curious if this reflects a true change in Dr. Rankin's position as she continued to gain knowledge herself through the podcast community, or if this reflects her willingness to simply say what she's known more strongly now, or if this is a trend of worsening conditions in hospitals. And overall, does Dr. Rankins feel that hospital births still provide an overall positive service to women? Do the goods outweigh the bads, especially for women who come in prepared with some knowledge? Or does she feel that the scales are now tipped more negatively? I guess an updated bird's eye view of the whole system in the US might be helpful for some of us trying to understand the overall context as we work through our individual choices available to us in our regions. For context on myself, if it matters, helps. My first birth was unmedicated in a hospital setting with a doula. The doula was excellent. The overall birth experience was just okay. The afterbirth care was very good. I really love this in-depth, comment that was left. I really, really appreciate it. I love it for so many reasons because it really brings up a lot of the things that I've thought about and dealt with over the years. So let me get into it. I'm going to break it down and respond to each part of the question. And I just really appreciate that you recognized my shift. There definitely has been a shift, and it's a combination of all of the things that were mentioned. So, first question is, does this reflect a true change in Dr. Rankin's position as she continued to gain knowledge herself through the podcast community? That is an overwhelming yes. That is one of the things about this podcast is that, yes, I do it to provide education, but it has also educated me. And hearing people's experiences, some of the conversations we have like off camera, off mic, just hearing about what people share, even the things that people write in about the stories that I'm not able to share, I have learned so much about both the bad, unfortunately, but also the good parts of what happens in hospital birth, just a lot about it in general. So yes, this definitely has reflected a change in my position in seeing that the way birth happens can be very, very different depending on where you are and who you have around you. Next part was, does this reflect my willingness to simply say what she's known more strongly now? And yes, yes, that is true too. I've always known that there have been some challenges, and I really got open to it when I moved to a community hospital. When I was in academic settings, I felt like we more routinely adhere to evidence-based care, but it was really when I got into a community hospital and I could see how different doctors practice that I really got open to the fact that there are some doctors who are just not honoring women the way that they should be honored. I've also seen through Facebook groups that I'm in with other physicians, OBGYNs, that we have a real cultural problem in medicine about the way we approach birth. And here's the thing, doctors, I don't believe mean harm. I know that most doctors don't mean any harm. It's just that the way that we're taught and the way that the system is set up is not a way that really centers the needs and prioritizes the needs of the person giving birth. It really just doesn't. Even if we think we are, we're actually not. And interestingly, I recently did this emotional intelligence test at a conference, and this was a conference full of OBGYNs. And the facilitator of the conference said that most doctors and healthcare professionals on this emotional intelligence scale are very high in social responsibility. And what social responsibility is defined in this test as is willingly contributing to society, to your social groups, and generally to the welfare of others. Doctors are also high on interpersonal relationships, and that was defined as the skill of developing and maintaining mutually satisfying relationships that are characterized by trust and compassion. But they're low, so they're high on social responsibility and interpersonal relationships. Most doctors and healthcare providers are high in those, but they are low on empathy. And empathy is recognizing, understanding, and appreciating how other people feel. And what this facilitator says, and this is going to sound kind of crude, and he said this is a crude example, but what it translates into is that most doctors and healthcare professionals actually are like, can you please just shut up and let me care for you? Like, I know how to care for you. Like, I really want to care for you, but I just want to do it in the way that I really know how. So just please shut up and let me do that so I can just care for you. And I know that sounds terrible, but that is really reflective of what I see in our system. People come from a place of thinking that what they're doing is caring, but it's really not. They're not listening to people and understanding where they're coming from. Healthcare has a history of blaming weight as some type of moral failing on the patient. Well, you deserve a different and better approach, and that's what you'll get with Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish weight loss. Their program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States. The folks at Mochi are dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being. Their goal is transforming how weight management is approached. They listen, and their mission is to make their patients feel heard and understood. They work alongside their patients towards their health goals without shame or blame. They aim to make comprehensive obesity care affordable and accessible for everyone, regardless of insurance coverage. At Mochi, they believe in a weight management medicine program that's personalized to you. Science-backed medications, including GLP-1s like Ozempic, Mounjaro, and Zepbound, are just one tool in their toolbox. They also connect you with professionals to discuss other evidence-based weight loss strategies like licensed registered dietitians and MDs who are board certified in obesity medicine. Get started today at joinmochi.com and you can use the code Dr. Nicole to receive $40 off. And interestingly, I am actually not like that on my scores for emotional intelligence. I actually scored very high on empathy, very high on social responsibility, kind of mid-range on interpersonal relationships. And I think that just reflects the fact that I'm very introverted and quite honestly, dealing with humans, I know this sounds crazy, but sometimes dealing with humans can be a challenge for me, depending on who the human is. I'm very introverted, maybe even on the autism spectrum. But this is reflected in my work and how I practice. I have always been able to connect empathetically with people. It's one of my gifts, I think, and one of the things that has always made me a great doctor. And I didn't realize that I was different than other people. And I had been somewhat reluctant to bring attention to that difference. But now I'm definitely more comfortable pointing out the issues in our system. And when I heard that from this facilitator, it was kind of like a click moment. So this is where I am evolving for sure. All right, next part was, is this a trend of worsening conditions in hospitals? No, it is not. In fact, I think hospitals are actually getting better overall in terms of the way that we approach taking care of women during pregnancy and birth. The issue, however, is that it is very uneven and it is hard to know who's a good hospital, who's not a good hospital. There are some pockets of people who are really digging into the old ways of how things were and not wanting to evolve. Medicine is very much so practiced in silos, and you get used to and comfortable with the things that are around you and not realizing that there is a different way to approach things. I do think that social media is actually helping with that. I see that a lot in some of these physician Facebook groups where people are like, what? You do this, you do that. So we're starting to see that there are different ways to approach things. But sometimes that can be challenging. People get like questioned, like, wait, you do a medication that way? Like, oh, that's different. I'm not used to that. People get really set in their ways and humans are resistant to change. So no, it's not worsening conditions in hospitals. Overall, I think hospitals are getting better, but it's uneven. Again, hard to know who's good and who's not. There's still some work to do. And then the final thing was, she said, overall, does Dr. Rankins feel that hospital births still provide an overall positive service to women? Do the goods outweigh the bads, especially for women who come in prepared with some knowledge, or does she feel that the scales are now tipped more negatively? Hospital birth absolutely can offer a positive experience and positive service to women. Okay, 1,000% that is possible and even likely for most people. Do we have some areas for improvement? Yes, for sure. And also, we need to rethink the way that we approach things. I used to say pretty strongly that my lane is hospital birth. That's what I know. That's what I talk about. I'm not talking about no home birth. I'm not talking about birth center birth. However, I have evolved in my thinking because it's not about hospital versus birth center versus home versus physician versus midwife. Those are actually the wrong questions to ask. What the question is that we need to start with is, what does this woman want or need for her birth, and how do we best meet that based on her unique circumstances? And that is going to be different for each person. For one woman, it may be a hospital birth with an epidural. It may be a hospital birth unmedicated. For someone else, it may be a home birth. For someone else, it may be an elective cesarean birth. For someone else, it may be a scheduled cesarean birth, because that's the most appropriate. All of the options should be available and supported with respectful, compassionate, and evidence-based care, no matter the setting, whether that's home, birth center, or hospital, no matter the type of birth. So my focus going forward is really helping to bring about that system, a system where everyone is treated with compassion, dignity, respect, receives evidence-based care based on their unique circumstances, no matter where they give birth. So it's not like, if I want a better birth, should I have a midwife or a physician? It's really how we make the system appropriate and good for everybody, everywhere, okay? And support all of those options, all right? And the way that I am doing that and helping to bring about that change is through education and advocacy. So through this podcast, I will continue to do education, including expanding what I talk about on the podcast. I will now start sharing some home birth and birth center stories on the podcast. I will always strive to present a balanced view, the good, bad, the ugly, and all of the aspects of birth, so that we can learn from the good, bad, the ugly, take from the good, learn from the ugly so that we can improve. I'll continue with education through my childbirth education class, the birth preparation course. Honestly, I've been rethinking social media. Probably going to do less on social media. It used to be like social media would be a place where you could learn different things and get exposed to different types of people. But the way algorithms work now and feeding you the things that they think you want to see, it creates echo chambers and you don't get exposed, you don't learn new information. And then add on top of that, that with these short, you know, a minute videos or posts or captions, you cannot talk about topics in depth like that. So I have to think about how to use social media strategically, really to get people off of social media to have deeper conversations outside of that, but definitely continued education through my podcast for sure. And then advocacy through writing, op-eds, through speaking, hopefully even workshops to hospitals and physicians to help create that system that starts with that question as, what does this woman, birthing person, want and need for her birth, and how do we best meet that based on her unique circumstances? All right, so there you have it. Those are my evolving thoughts on hospital birth. Please subscribe to the podcast and Apple Podcast or wherever you're listening to me right now. In fact, subscribing is the only way you're going to know about these shorter episodes that I release on Thursdays. I don't really talk about them anyplace else. Don't talk about them on social media or my website or things like that. So subscribe. subscribe to get this extra goody content on Thursdays. Also, leave me a review in Apple Podcasts. Let me know what you think about the show. It helps the show to grow. It helps me to reach and serve as many people as possible. And do fill out that survey. If you want to let me know what you think about the podcast, head to drnicolerankins.com/survey and fill that out. So that is it for this episode. Do come on back next week and remember that you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.